Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing on this stanky hot afternoon?
First of all, hi.
I miss you.
It's been stanky for weeks, hasn't
it? Isn't it just a stank out there? Yeah, it's been terrible.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah. Anyways, what else is going on?
It's too hot.
It's way too hot.
It's been too hot for too long.
It's making you cranky.
Yes.
I really do think it's affecting your self-esteem. The weather.
Yeah, yeah. The heat.
I think it makes you feel bad about yourself.
Of course.
But that's not an of course. I feel like it doesn't affect other people in such ways, but maybe.
I think it does. Maybe they don't know it. But yeah.
I mean, I used to get really depressed in the winters.
In the Canadian winter,
Well, that's a lack of sunshine.
Yeah, it really is.
Here, there's too much.
And it's not... My depression in Canada really kicked in February, March. Like, really, I got out of it around... my birthday's March 11th. So around there, I'd kind of snap out of it. Because, like, my birthday is the mark of, like, okay, the second half of March is usually okay. But, like, Toronto... February, first week of March, it's brutal.
Well, and here's the thing. It's cold in January, but you're so hopped up on New Year's resolutions, you don't even notice.
Yeah, January can get grim towards the end. End of January, all of February is just a fucking nightmare. Thank God it's short.
Yeah, but nobody told me when I moved here how stanky it was going to be.
Well, I mean, when I first moved to LA, I think it did not rain for a full calendar year.
Sounds about right.
And this year... What is this? My sixth year here.
Yeah.
Congrats. It's the hottest.
It's too hot.
It's too hot.
Not to make this entirely about the weather. Norm, on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of hotness, how are you feeling?
You know, I was feeling pretty good. I got back to did a shoot.
That's right. Day. You're back at work.
Yeah, I did a shoot the other day. It was the most complicated, biggest shoot I've done so far.
Yes, it was.
Right?
It was a lot. I had no part in it, but just seeing the behind the scenes, it was too much.
Yeah, I've never done like motion. We were doing a motion capture, like animated, real people animate. Some people were animated. Who cares? It's basically a commercial on Fox.
Anyways, the point is complicated.
It's very complicated. It was very complicated. So I'm glad that worked out. Also too early.
Way too early in the morning.
Call time was 4:30 a.m. Oh, my God.
Honestly, a stanky time, if you will.
It was the stankiest of mornings.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm really proud of you, Norm.
Wow.
And I'm proud of you because it was a stressful situation, and you managed to see the positive that you got to do something so cool.
Right.
And... big and what have you.
Right.
So I'm proud of you. That usually the stress would get to you. The weather certainly has, but usually the stress as well. And when I say to you, I mean to anybody, not just to you,
right.
Obviously, when somebody's really stressed out, especially career stress.
Especially when there's like 40 people who are looking at you going like, what is this it? And you're just like, okay, yeah.
I tell you what though, we went to a show Saturday night.
Well,
I did the show, and 40 people were looking at me when I was on that stage, and boy, did it feel good. You want to talk a 10 out of 10 self-esteem. Man, it felt good to be back.
It was the same day and I was really tired and I wanted to bail, but I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't.
It turned out great. We were both in the show. It was really exciting.
Dynasty Typewriter.
Yeah, Hampton Yount show. It was really fun.
Yeah, he was so funny on it.
God, he was so funny on it.
Yeah,
and it was nice.
James Adomian was so funny.
So funny. Here's the thing. It was nice to do a show. Nice to just be watching a show, too. Nice to support. Yeah. My God, guys. Safely as you can.
Does James Adomian do podcasts? You should try to get him on.
I just feel like I'm busy with the weather.
But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. Today, I'm once again frustrated with our apartment.
God,
and it's been really
so sick of
bumming
it.
Me out. So, you know, I'd say I was like... around a 7, and now I'm probably like coming in at around a 5.
Okay, sorry we cost you those 2 points.
Well, it's just like, oh God, I hate property management people and renting, and oh my God, it's just making me nuts.
I'm so sick of it. Thank you very much.
But and also like, we did move into our place at like the peak of the pandemic.
Yeah,
and it was kind of a rush and there wasn't a lot of options and it like checked a lot of boxes. So we did it. And now it's just like not working out anymore.
Yeah. So if anybody wants us to move in with them, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag, and then your full address.
Yeah, and then we'll just hire a moving truck, we'll just move there. Roll in there.
And we'll update you guys on the next episode with how it's going.
Not so hot. Back to the weather.
Not so hot. Speaking of hot, today's guest, super buff, ripped.
He's jacked, and we
talked about it. It was a real actual health and wellness episode, truly.
Really?
Yes, we really got into it. It was really exciting. And I learned a lot. I truly did. And some great perspective. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Shall we?
I think, yeah, that's all my check-ins are done. And we might as well get to the podcast. Your interview with
Iffy Nwadawe right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Iffy, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Yeah, I'm having a good time. I got my cat right here on the desk, so it's really good.
I love that quantifies for feeling good for the whole day. I agree. Why not? A nice soft moment.
Yeah, when she chooses not to be on my desk, it's a bad day. When she chooses
to
lay right in arm's reach where I need to type, you know, it's a good day.
So tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of self-esteem, how are you feeling about yourself?
Ooh, I'm gonna say 17.
Ooh!
Yeah, 17.
Oh my God, Iffy.
Yeah. Off the
record. My God. Absolutely. Oh my God. What's got you at a 17? I love this answer.
I know. Yeah. If you would have contacted me maybe like 8 or so months ago, it would have been, you know, probably in the 6-7 range.
Okay.
But yeah, no, you know, for as long as you've known me, you know, I'm a guy who likes to lift heavy things, put it back down, restrict the things I'm eating to get a specific body composition. And it's so funny. I was just talking about this, but like at the beginning of 2020, I was working at two jobs. I was doing The Great Debate for Sci-Fi, and then for Twitch and TBS, I was doing Super Punch. And it was a super long schedule because I'd wake up at like 5 or 6 to try and get to the gym, and then after the gym, try and get to Culver City. This is going to be very informative for people who live in LA. If you don't, go ahead and open up Google Maps so you can see the distance I'm going.
Yeah, follow us on the journey.
So I had to get to Culver City by 10:30, and then I would work there till 5:30, and then I would have to get from Culver City to Burbank at 7, and this is in like peak traffic, and then I would do the show till about 11:30, go home and sleep. And so that was my schedule. So because of that schedule, I had stopped going to the gym, and I also kind of stopped doing my, like, you know, clean eating, keto type stuff, because I was like, I just need to eat when I eat and I need to just get work done. And then I told myself, I was like, you know, and I'm gonna just really just go ham and not worry about what I'm eating, since like this gig will probably be done around like April, and I'm just going to just go to the gym, and then while I still have the other show at night, so I'll have the days open so I can really just live in the gym during the day, do the show at night. As you remember, around March, April 2020, we went into, that was the beginning, official beginning of the pandemic. So gyms,
I do recall, yes.
Yeah, gyms closed, so I wasn't able to, and like workout equipment immediately like sold out everywhere, because everyone kind of figured we were going to be at home, decided they, all the meatheads were like, you know, while normal people, a term I'm using loosely in this situation, while normal people were hoarding toilet paper, the meatheads were hoarding weightlifting equipment. So I've got my hands on
the
a bench.
Essentials, okay.
Yeah. Got my hands on a bench, got a few dumbbells, but it still wasn't the same. Like, I get out of going, like, like I get charged up by going to the gym. Like the act of being in this place where I'm lifting and seeing other people lifting, like that gets me going. It's hard to just do it on my own. And I was trying to, and I kind of fell off. And so, you know, I pretty much gained a lot of the weight that I lost previous to like 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. And before it was fine, because like that's the kind of trick is when you lift weights, the when you gain weight, it gains weight in a very like almost like aesthetically pleasing way, because it just grows over your fat. So you just look buffer. But
yeah,
but so a lot of people, so whenever someone's like, dang, oh, you must be hitting the gym, you're getting big, I know I'm gaining weight. Like, whereas like, you know, they think they're complimenting me, being like, oh, if he looks buff, it's like, oh, it's because the fat is on top of my muscles.
So this is the problem of body comments, as much as like it is supposed to come across as a compliment. It's like, well, if you notice it one way, you're noticing it the other way.
Yeah.
It's a really like gray area.
Well, that's why it was so funny when I first lost all the weight, because like when you lose weight, it is funny how people like look at your old body composition, your old body type. Mm-hmm. As like a thing in the past, so they just feel comfortable being like, yeah, you were like huge, but now you're great, and you know, like you were big. and I was like, well, that's I guess what you thought of me when I was that size. Yeah. You know, it's like you're kind of exposing yourself. But honestly, you know, if we go even beyond that, like now I didn't care, but I still like, it's this weird thing where like I understand how my body works. I understand how bodies work. I don't beat myself up when I gain weight, but I just don't feel the best. Like it's this interesting mm-hmm. thing where you're like, I know the body, like I know the body type I have in my head when I visualize myself, and I'm like, that's my body. So even though I'm not like beating up on myself for gaining weight, I still have that thing in the back of my head where I'm like, that's not, you know, iffy prime. This is pandemic iffy, and there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the little, but I know what iffy prime looks like. And so the past, you know, few months, I've been able to get back into gear in a big way and go yep. to the gym, and I'm already I'm starting to see the progress. So I'm feeling good. And this time around, it's really cool, because everyone in my life, you know, is kind of just like, well, you know, you always look great. And I was like, thank you. I hear you, but I'm going for iffy prime. That's the
yeah.
That's
here's the thing, iffy. Let me help encourage you. I think you look trash right now, and I can't wait for iffy prime to hit the scene. This is the guy I'm holding my breath for.
Yeah, please do.
Give me the prime.
Iffy prime is on the way.
I've subscribed. Okay, so here's a question, because there was once a time, actually, when we first met, I was super into lifting. I was very lean. I was very muscular. That is something that, like, over the years has been hard to maintain, let alone in the pandemic. And I'll say it took a hit on my confidence for sure, because I wasn't that Atlanta prime or whatever. And it's yeah. like hard to get back there. I mean, how much did your body kind of take a toll on you emotionally? Like even first wanting to start to get into a certain kind of shape to begin with?
It kind of made me feel away for a bit, because there was also like that sense of accomplishment when you lose all that weight. You're like, yes, mm-hmm. I did it, you know.
Yes.
And it's funny, because like it wasn't as bad, and I kept being like, and I think that's what made it kind of worse, was in my head I was like knowing that I wasn't into my regular routine, and so it was slowly coming back, but I kept like being able to look in the mirror and be like, okay, this is light work, I can lose it. And I even like got real good at it towards the end of 2020. I got in a pretty decent routine, came down, and then got bogged down when the holidays came around. And then there was just one time I like looked in the mirror and I was like, oh no, this is not the same. Like I can tell, like I kind of had like my belly, cause you know, I was starting to get a little bit of an ab session, you know, mm-hmm. like that was. And so when I saw that, I was kind of like, okay. But the funny thing is because of the way that I've started to wire my brain, it didn't get me down too much. It just kind of was a motivational factor. The reason for this is because I've been lifting seriously for over a decade now. And the first time I was lifting, I went real hard. I was doing, you know, this thing called the EC stack, which was like finding ephedrine and caffeine and making like the diet pills, you know, using those. And I was like shredding up, like getting shredded, but I kept like being like, okay, I'm not there yet. And I kept going. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing comedy in LA and UCB. And you know how trash those diets are, especially when you're like first year in, comedy nerd, out till like 2-3 in the morning, usually always with a beer, eating. And when you're out, you know, that's why like I always say, like when people do intermittent fasting, it's a cheat code, because like anything open after 9, it's never good. It's always like a fast
food. No, absolutely not.
Like, you're not going to find a sweet green or a tender greens open after 9. So you're just eating and drinking. And I just gained a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at old pictures before, you know, that, and seeing like how fit I was. And my biggest regret was that I didn't enjoy it. Like I was just kept being in the like, I can get thinner. I'm not there yet. And so I was like having this body that I was yearning for in the past that I didn't appreciate. So ever since then, that moment, and you know, it definitely was some light dysmorphia, but like ever since that moment, it's like I'm always gonna love the body I am and appreciate it and treat it like a discipline thing, less mm-hmm. about like my self-worth and more about just like it's a fun challenge for me. And so like I cut down again, and it was great because the whole way it was cool. And the funny thing about it is when you start to treat it that way, is you're not as like goal oriented. You're kind of just going with the flow. So it sneaks up on you, and you're just kind of, you've always enjoyed your body. And then someone's just like, damn, you're like crazy shredded. And then you look and you're like, oh damn, I guess so. You know, I just kind of always,
I love that. I love that you were able to make that separation.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, that's, one thing is that regret is always the greatest teacher. And like I do everything I do in my life is to try and avoid regret. So being hit with that regret, I will never forget it. Just mm-hmm. like going, I was sitting on like Facebook in like my larger body, we'll say, at the time, and just looking at these old pictures of me just like flexing and looking real great, and just like remembering my headspace at the time, and remembering that the way that I was looking at it at that time, I was not looking at it in the moment. I was just constantly right. being like, it's not there. So that's always my advice whenever anybody comes to me for like fitness advice and all this, is like, you got to learn to love your body right now, because mm-hmm. if you don't love your body right now, you're not going to love it when you get to start losing weight. You just simply won't, because you have to learn to love your body. And it's easy to spiral when you're at it, when you're losing it, to try and do more, even though you're at what you set your goal to. So yeah, that's, ever since then, it's been cool, which is why like this time when I got bigger, I had the two things. One, I've done it twice. I've been able to shred up twice. So now it's ingrained in my brain that I can do it. It's easy. Yes. And really it is. It is just like a change in your diet while you're just, you know, lifting regularly. And then the second thing is just like being fine with my body either way. And because, yeah, you know, no one around me was like, oh, I wish you looked any other way. You know, everyone's just happy with me as is. And I think it also is just you being happy with your body, because I feel like you can, and this is just a general self-esteem thing, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people realize that you can talk someone out of being attracted to you. And I see people do it all the time, where like someone's like, oh, you're good. And you're like, I'm not that cute, and I'm not this. And
I can't take a compliment.
Yeah, can't take a compliment. And like, you know, at the end of the day, people want confidence more than like aesthetic looks, you know, like mm-hmm. a guy can look, you know, however, but if he's confident in the way that he carries himself, I think it goes a lot further.
I mean, I think that's how you'll see a lot of comedy nerds have these like knockout lines.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like,
that's I wasn't possible? Trying to say it, but yeah, no, a lot in a
oh, I'm gonna
in
say
comedy.
It.
A lot of people are above their pay grade. So a friend of the pod, Gabrus will admit it himself. So that's the name yes. I'll toss out there. Gabrus loves to admit that his wife is so much hotter than he is. And but like when you meet him, God. You get it. If you meet Gabrus. You get it. Gabrus is never feels like someone who like looks in the mirror and is like, oh no. He looks like oh he's like, I'm fucking me and I love it.
And you buy in right
yeah.
away.
Oh yeah.
Right away. You don't even hesitate. And it's like, here's something that I always think about because I've definitely been somebody that pulled that stunt where you're like, you know, talk someone out of it or belittle yourself or mm-hmm. like whatever else. And it's so crazy to do that when you work in this industry, especially because if you don't even think you can do it, no one else is going to believe you can in anything, in your goals, look, in your career, in trying to transform your looks. It's like no one's going to believe in you if you at the base can't even in any way get
I'm
on board
so
with
glad
yourself.
You brought that up because I love talking about that because one of the things I say is that like – you do need a certain level of delusion, a certain level of narcissism. Not you. Mm-hmm. That's why, and I think that's why you have so many like hugely delusional and narcissistic people in our industry because you need it is like a necessary component because you have to believe that like you have what it takes because that'll be the first person that believes in you. And there will yes. be so many people who will tell you no, and you have to be like, no, they're wrong. No, they're wrong. And lots of times there are. Sometimes it's just not the right fit, but mm-hmm. you know, it really is you gassing yourself up and surrounding yourself with people who will gas you up. I was, did you see that Jake Paul video that went viral?
Which video?
Or Logan Paul. I always mix the brothers up. Is this guy who like...
Yeah, I know Logan Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. It was this guy. He quit his like $100,000 a year job to come to LA and ask... Look, and like, it was so funny because I was like watching it expecting, you know, maybe Logan Paul to like be shitty or something. But like, Logan Paul hears this guy out and he's like, okay, you want to do it? What are you good at? And he's like, well, nothing. And then Logan Paul goes, then why would I hire you? And that's so true. There's so many people. I have so many friends where like we'll be at a party or something. And like I have a friend who like is looking for someone who does this thing. And I have a friend who does this thing. And I'll be like, this is my friend so-and-so. And he's great. And they're like, I'm all right. I'm like, why would you do that to yourself? Why would you? Because you just told this person who is potentially looking to hire you that you're just mm-hmm. all right. Meanwhile, you have people who, like, say what you will about a lot of the mediocre people in our industry, but if you ask them, they will never say they're mediocre. They will always say
that
they're the best. And that's one thing you can always, you kind of have to give them credit for, is they will always sell themselves to you better than anyone can. Because at the end of the day, that's the biggest part, like, you know, if you're competent and you can sell yourself, you can go so far in this industry. But
well, it's kind of hard because if you, you know, if you're seeing someone that's mediocre on TV and you're like, well, I'm funnier than they are. And it's like, well, did you mm-hmm. convey that in the moment at your
exactly.
audition?
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you show them that you're like, no, I'm the best? Because it's like, if you did, you probably would have got the part.
Or even in that same mindset, did you put your best foot forward? I think there are sometimes, and you know, I've done this a few times where you get so in your bag, especially like if you're doing a character read and you're like, oh, this is me. So you get into this place where now you're not putting the same effort in because you're like, oh, well, this is me. I'm gonna just do it. And then you have somebody who maybe isn't as quick or as funny as you, but they're like studying it, they're rehearsing it, and their delivery is just so crisp because they put the work in, and then you're like salty. But that's what it is. It's like you kind of do have to work, and it's always that's why I always you know, I've said a few times, surrounding yourself with people. Like, you know, I was speaking with my friend Addie, and just seeing her get excited about talking about auditions got me excited about it again. Because I think, you know, the pandemic, one, I came into this tough because I've always hated self-tapes. I think it comes from being a live performer. I think that's what it really comes down to. And I think it comes from hating watching myself perform. There's nothing I would want more than to self-tape and let somebody pick the best one and put it together. Because watching myself perform and sitting there, you just, I don't know. It's a weird thing I have, and I know a lot of folks have it. So
it's because you pick it all apart.
Exactly. You're like, I could have done that better. But then you're the details this is
that
due.
That no one would ever notice. And mm-hmm. That's like the first thing you look at. Always. Oh,
yeah. But yeah, so we're stuck doing self-tapes. And I kind of was like, we were kind of hanging out. And I was like, yeah, you know, these self-tapes, you know, I'm just kind of tired of them. And she was like, you know what? I actually love them because, you know, they're the one... You know, we don't get to act much. And so this is your one chance to like act. Like if you just treating that audition as the job. And I was like, damn, you're right. And you know, if without someone like me that was still, you know, excited about it to like get me charged up again, I would still be probably getting a self-tape and being like, oh man, all right, let me just, you know.
It's so hard though, because it's like we all complained that there was no work and everything had stopped at the beginning of the pandemic when the hardcore shutdown happened. And then if stuff picks back up and opens up and there's auditions, we're complaining about them. And I'm like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
Do I not want the work or what?
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
Yeah. I think it is just that. It's all mood. I think as creative people, our emotions really bleed into our art. And if we're like the night and day difference in an audition for something I'm excited for versus an audition for a thing that comes across your desk, it just shows you that it really is like you have to find a way to get yourself hyped up about it. And you always book the one thing you're not excited for.
Yeah, of course, right? But that's most things you have to, especially now. It's like I've been talking about this with pals, and I wonder if you're having anything similar. This fight with yourself to self-motivate and self-start, and it's like even with working out and getting back into it and the routine and this and that, but it's like that's been a big struggle to be like to rely on yourself to like get going and get moving and stay positive, have that mindset. And it's like, I gotta say, like, I commend all my pals that are like, do it, and everybody really that's like making anything happen right now, paid or not paid.
Yeah.
I just mean making anything
happen. Oh, truly. Because, you know, it's so hard to get me motivated if there isn't a hard deadline, right? If there's anything I can keep pushing back, then that's what's gonna happen every time. And so, like, yeah, to see people be like, oh no, this is a thing I have. And I'm gonna do it. It blows my mind every time.
I mean, that's so much of what you've done though, in terms of like with your body and your health and everything like that. And it's like that stuff bleeds in to the mentality you have about everything else. It's like, especially like if you show up somewhere, whatever version of looking your best so that you feel your best, that's all going to come across. And it's like, that doesn't mean everybody has to get into incredible shape. Obviously, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the mm-hmm. way you present yourself with the most amount of confidence, whether that comes from your body or whatever, what you're wearing, whatever it may be. But it's like, it's just so hard to have that discipline that you have and do such a good job with, because it's hard to practice when you're just making it up. That you need to, like, if you don't actually have somewhere to go or somewhere to be, or if you're not working, so nobody is seeing your body, or you're not, you know what I mean? Or you're not dating. So you're like, well, what do I care? Exactly. It's so hard.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, it's like
my biggest struggle.
Yeah.
I'm like, who I keep saying, and this is so bad. And this started off as a joke saying this, but now I just keep saying it in real life going, for what, for who? And
Like,
if I can't come up with the answer, I'm probably not going to make the right choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, a part of what, like, really motivated me is, like, I'm like, okay, there is a stark difference of the roles that I get when I'm like fit versus like mm-hmm. when I'm not. And also I just feel like I do kind of like my face thins out in a way that I do get a different look. So that makes it a little important to me because I'm like, well, I have to match my headshot.
Oh my God, headshots. It's why I grew my hair back out. I'm not paying like $500. Yeah. Have you lost your mind?
Oh yeah. And exactly. Like I'm truly, it really does feel like I'm turning into the version of myself I enjoyed the most, because like I started getting like my dreadlocks back, and I started like, I'm like, oh, I'm really gonna revert into 2019 iffy before, you know, tragedy struck. Like we're just slowly going back, and I'm excited for it.
I mean, that's, you know, hence the 17, and it's like, it's interesting that not lowest, but I would say what sounds like a bit of a low time when you said around 6 or 7 that you were clocking mm-hmm. in at.
Yeah.
I will say I'm impressed that it's still above a 5, because I feel like there were some times, especially last year in the beginning of everything, where it was like, and I was doing, like, I stopped doing the podcast for a couple months because I was too stressed out. Then when I started again, a lot of people's highs were like maybe that out of 5.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it's like, I gotta say, I'm impressed that like you must have come in already a positive person to be able to hang on to a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that would be high, you know, for a lot of that time period for people.
Oh yeah. I was definitely I'm definitely an optimist, and I will say I was eternally and extremely lucky in the sense that I had that TBS Twitch gig, which was a year-long gig. So like once everything kind of dried up and was slowing down, I still was able to just like work throughout the year. And I think that kind of kept me.
Oh my God, amazing. You know,
yeah. I like that kept, because it is like, especially seeing like a lot of like my friends who like book regularly or, you know, stay in a room, you know, have that year where like they couldn't get in a room, they couldn't. And it really helped too for me, because there were a lot of things and rooms I went out for that did not shake up. And then by like March, May, April, May of this year, it got like, it really came through, because like I was up for a few writing things, and it was scary too, because like I knew that this gig was ending in November, and that was the last, and I kind of was like, I was like, okay, one, I have a year where I just wasn't doing any writing. So that's always scary to go into any writer's room meeting to be like, I was gone for a year, but for a good reason. But I, you know, that was just a personal thing. I was like, yeah. And then on top of that, I was like, you know, November comes, and then it's savings. And then if the savings dry up, I don't know what's going to happen, because all my friends, they've been having trouble getting work. Like, this is what I got. And then I started doing like little things here and there, was shooting stuff for Smosh. And then that was getting pretty regular. Then I moved, and then my rent went up, and I was like, okay, Iffy, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you made this move. But really the reason I made the move was because I wanted to rent a house so that Naomi could have a backyard, because we were stuck inside. Jokes on me. She's in school now, so she doesn't need it. But, you know, at the time,
she's done with the yard. It's over.
I know. Yeah. We don't use the yard anymore. She has school. But yeah, no, I was like, I want more space. And I just was like, I'm going to just bet on myself and bet that, you know, this will go. And then sure enough, like, it rained and poured. And I started Grand Crew on NBC. Also, while writing outside those hours for Apex Legends, a video game that I already really liked.
Oh my God, that is so lucky, but also hard work paying off. So
yeah,
I think it's both.
It's a little bit.
The timing of it lucky. The timing of it very lucky, because it was during a very dark time.
Yeah,
but the hard work is what got that.
Well, it was so funny because it's such a perfect. example of the year, because like I get these two things and it's, you know, vaccines are rolling out, I'm vaccinated. I was like, okay, it looks like things are turning around, and then Delta variant happened and it's like, okay, well, I guess we're inside.
And you're like, well, look who wants the yard now.
Yeah, yeah.
How the tables have turned, Naomi.
Yeah. I need the yard. Dad needs the yard now.
Well, so wait a second. Are you still able to go to the gym? Is everything still open?
Yes.
Is it like mask on? What's the situation?
Yeah, it's a mask on lift area. And like, it's so funny because they slowly started converting to the post COVID setup, and then it had to revert back because of that punk ass Delta.
But like, yeah, like social distancing.
Yeah. So
like
what
that?
They did, yeah, because it's kind of like one of those building. Like if you've ever seen a place where CrossFit takes place, think of that. It's a high ceiling warehouse area with barn doors on each side, so they can have them open, so it's well ventilated. Then on the inside, they made these like they use tape to box off each of the equipment and they separated the equipment so there's distance smart. Between it. And then they also gave people they give you towels for free, and then they have like, you know, the like antibacterial spray sanitizer that you spray on the equipment after you use it and before you use it if you want. So it had the COVID compliance. We had the masks off for maybe a week or two. Delta kicked up, and then
dude, it literally was back. 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then we threw the mask back on, and you know, I was using the Under Armour sports mask, which has a little more ventilation, but there was one arrow in that, like, the fabric in front is kind of thick, so like if you would sweat it would start to sag a little. And but I just got my newer one today, which is the featherweight version, which is a lighter so that it doesn't do that.
Kind of like a diaper, really.
Yeah.
Just melting really does, off your face.
Nothing feels worse than like feeling a sagging mask and then you touch it and it's hella wet. You're like, okay.
You know what's been disgusting? Like wearing a mask when I'm going somewhere, like to a restaurant or something where I'll have makeup on, and then when I take it off, seeing like my face imprinted in a mask is horrifying. It's truly horrifying.
I did a shoot Sunday where they made me up. And it's always funny because, you know, with men, it's always a dice roll whether they're just going to hit you with like a powder and some lotion or they're going to do the whole nine. And they did the whole nine. And I put my face mask on. And when I pulled it off and just seeing like all this like foundation, I was like, oh, yeah, so this is what y'all see. This does not seem fun. Because you're also like going through your head like, what is this doing to my skin, pushing this back against it? And, you know, like, is it rubbing it around in a way that it shouldn't? Is it clogging my pores up? Who knows?
Oh, my God. I've been getting maskne, which is what I call acne, because of my mask. I've been getting tons of it. It's made my rosacea's flaring up. Like, listen, I can't complain about something that's saving my life. But if I were to complain, those would be two of my main complaints.
Yeah. I know. It's going to be a wild, when we finally do away with the mask, it's going to be a wild time seeing, you know, everyone doing like huge treatments on the lower half of their face.
When do you think we like that there would no longer be masks in public, period? I think it's like years.
Yeah, I was going to say my current earliest guess is 2023. Because 2023,
okay.
Because to me, it's like an interesting dice roll. One, I think masks will be an implemented thing for the rest of our lives. Because I do feel the same way everyone else feels. I think if you're sick, throw that mask on.
They're, I agree. Like, I love it.
That huge dip in the common cold that we had last year, where, man, that was great. Because, normally everyone's passing it around. But because we're all wearing masks, it's staying.
Yeah, it was contained. So much easier. Oh, my God, it was the best.
Yeah. So I say that because I'm curious to see what this next block is going to turn out to. Because I feel like the more I read and look, it's going to be this, like, forced herd immunity. Because people are just going to refuse. We're going to keep having these breakthroughs where the person who is vaccinated is fine, but is still, you know, unfortunately spreading because, you know, they really couldn't tell. And mm-hmm. these people who are refusing to mask up are still refusing. It's really wild, too, because, you know, you'll see, like, the story of, like, there was the story of this guy who was like, all right, liberals, if you think COVID is real, inject me. And if I get sick, you're right. And if I'm wrong, then you're and if I don't get sick and I feel fine, then you're on some bullshit. Then he has like his like kind of like last Facebook update that he did, like where he's like, mm-hmm. I'm not long for this world. And he still was like, you know what? Still Trump 2020. Hope my family's going to be all right. But I was like, damn. Like, even on your deathbed, you're like, yeah, nah, I'm not giving y'all this.
I can't imagine how strong-willed you'd have to be. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of just having that one moment of honesty, you're like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. And it's so funny because there's a very real chance that, like, in person he had that, like, coming to God moment. But he's like, no, online, I have to let other people die.
Wow, that's fucking outrageous. I did not see this.
Yeah, it was wild. I wish I can find it. I need to get better at like liking the things that make me chuckle. It's something I started doing on TikTok so I can find the TikToks that make me laugh. But
I keep forgetting. Do you like TikTok?
You know what? I do. I think I
wow, come out and say, really? Okay. Yeah,
the kids, they're making me laugh.
You know what? Up. It hasn't grabbed my attention yet. I just like the videos really? That my friends are doing, and I see those on the other platforms, and I feel like I see the things I need to see from TikTok, but I don't know if I can get on it because I don't know if I can get on another app. I feel like I'm already wasting so much of my time.
Yeah. I mean,
do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, but I will say that I think you would have fun on there. I feel like you would do fun, goofy things that the kids will like.
But don't I need like a hook or like what my thing is?
No, like maybe TikTok's going to figure out. I'm always a woman
that's like, you guys better calm on down.
TikTok's going to figure out what your thing is. It is funny. It is. That's one of the weird things about TikTok is like you'll do a bit. And this is funny because this is the first time I've been able to use like just terms that we know very well, mm-hmm. which is you'll do a bit on TikTok and then the kids will like that bit. And the only posts that will snap are sequels to that bit. Like, you can try different bits, but unless it is, like, you have a specific voice in which you're doing your bits, then you'll find, like, some success. But really, TikTok rewards your one bit.
My favorite. Is it because they want to build a following? Like, they want people to build followings?
No. I mean, like, your audience. Like, for some reason, the audience likes the one thing. Like, there's this guy, Mike Cakes, where he was doing this bit where he'll find like something suggestive. So like those weird like pipe cleaning videos where like it squirts in a way that's sexually suggestive or someone like cleaning something suggestively. And then he'll do this character who's sweating and the glasses are crooked and the line will be like, sir. And he'll say, get me that, whatever it is. And so that it was funny. I liked it. And he was doing like maybe like part five. And then he started to branch off and do like other sketches. And it would not get the same like views and interactions. And it was wild because he went like I think he went about 6-7 posts where he did not do that bit. And it just was not, the numbers weren't there. And then as soon as he did the next version of this character bit that he does, immediately goes viral on TikTok.
I did not know any of this. I had no idea that's how this worked, rather like how to make it work.
Oh yeah, like it is so funny because like it's seemingly like the corner that I have carved out on TikTok has like sometimes I'll do these like videos where I talk to camera and I say something semi-inspirational. And it's like a very like genuine like thing. Like I had one that was like, unclench your jaw. All right, keep scrolling. Like almost doing like this dad character and being wholesome. And those always do really well. And if I do a well thought out joke with costumes and all that, nothing.
Well, I think people are really enjoying the direct videos. I will say this. I think people are really liking like just someone like truly being positive or truly just saying little quips like this. Yeah. It's getting shorter and shorter. And I think people are really enjoying like anything that's positive or just funny right now, because I think the rest is too serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like, yeah, it's a nice break. Too much effort. And I'm sure because the way they are really good at sprinkling in content in TikTok, I'm sure it just always comes at a time where someone's like, all right, I need to calm down.
And then they give it a good old fashioned scroll.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Wait, you like, you're a big gamer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Has that been your whole life that you've been a huge gamer?
Oh, because yeah.
I'm coming into it later in life via a Zumba game from a Nintendo Switch, which I'm obsessed with. And now I'm slowly starting to get into gaming because of this one Zumba game. And I feel like I've missed out on quite a bit, but at the same time, I think it would have been detrimental to my social life. And I commend you for having such an active one. You were always out and about.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the beautiful thing about the Switch for me too, is it converts so many people. You know, you start off with one game and it makes it easy to understand. And then there's, to me, I love the party games like Mario Party and things like that, just to get it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I haven't even made good on my Zumba game, because you can do Zumba parties and I can't get Norm to do them with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody really wants to come over and do Zumba. So I'm only getting some of the benefits of this Switch, even though it should be multiplayer for this Zumba game and my Zumba party that nobody's attending.
No one's going to want to Zumba with you. They're like,
no, they don't want to do it. Nobody wants to be a part of my huge life. wait, Iffy, here's what I want to know. What is, you said earlier, Prime Iffy. What is Prime Iffy top to bottom, meaning mentally, emotionally, physically? What is Prime Iffy? Because this is a guy I'm looking out for, as we know.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think this is someone who's like eating well, exercising regularly, got his meditation on point, you know, meditating. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I love to meditate.
That.
Yeah. Getting that meditation in, and then also, you know, just really enjoying life and taking it day by day.
Taking it day by day, God, that is such a reminder I need every day. Oh, truly, to be able to tell yourself that is so hard when you're caught in the thick of it, especially when stuff starts popping off in the morning. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, forget about it. You're like, there goes my whole week.
Well, that's even my whole. My whole philosophy to working out, I feel like a lot of people have started saying this. So, like, you know, but I was saying it before it was popular. But,
okay, yeah, what I did just you need invent? People to Let's know. Hear it.
but yeah, no. Essentially, a lot of people look at dieting or. Like say meal planning or, you know, and working out as this like goal oriented thing, and not that a ever evolving, a continuing thing. So you have someone who's like, I'm gonna try this meal plan, or I'm gonna try this, you know, set of macros, or this workout plan, or this, and they'll do it and they'll put all their like, you know, all their like energy into nailing it. And then when they mess up once, or when they fail at something, they're like, okay, well that didn't work, because it's like, I didn't achieve the goal. I messed up before I got to the goal. It's over. And that's definitely not how it is. I tell everyone, like, everyone's like, oh man, I really want, like, it's just when I'm dining, I really want to eat that cupcake, or I want to eat that. I was like, then eat it and start over again the next day. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, eat it. Start over again the next day. Because here's what's going to happen. Or maybe, you know, it, basically what I like to believe happens, and it definitely happens for me, is exactly how I got back on task here. Which is, you allow yourself to do the thing you want to do. You allow yourself to cheat, but you're still starting over the next day. Eventually, you're going to get tired of starting over. Eventually, you're going to be like, okay, like, these are great, but I'm not reaching my goal. So let me see what happens this next time where I just don't. Or it's a thing where you're like, I tried it. I ate the thing. Like, this happens to me all the time. Like, I, like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I want a donut so bad. I want it. Because your brain wants to have things it can't have.
Oh my God, always. Exclusively.
And you're like, I want it. Oh gosh, this donut. I know it's going to be so good. I can't deprive myself. And you eat the donut and you're like, oh, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, about it?
It wasn't that good. I didn't really need to. Didn't need to break for this.
Yeah.
And then next time you want a donut, you think back to that time where you actually got the donut and it wasn't that good. And then you just are able to push.
So really, like, a bit of a fresh start.
Yeah.
A way to, like, cleanse it. What happened. What you ate is what you ate.
Yeah.
It's okay. Pick up and keep going. Yeah. I love that. Give yourself permission to be human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, say you're on, I do keto. So that's what I'll use as an example. Say you're on keto. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you go to a wedding and there's this cake and it's a buttercream cake. You know, let's say that's a basic cake, a buttercream cake. But something that is very true and real is, you will never have that specific cake again, because that's for that wedding. That's a moment in time. And I don't think pushing your diet one more day or starting over the next day can replace a memory that you just won't get back.
Oh my God.
So that's what it all comes down to. We are doing, and this, I think this is the most important thing. I think I'd love to get anybody who might be thinking of working out or getting fit and all this. We are getting fit. We are dieting so that we can have a better life. So don't do things that take from your life's enjoyment to reach that goal, because that's counterproductive. If you're skipping a cake on a special day, if you're skipping this dessert that's only in this place you're visiting to better your life, that's you're doing it backwards. Do the thing that's going to make your life great at the moment, and then work on working it off.
Honestly, we won an award, a Canadian Podcast Award for Health and Wellness Podcast, and this episode has truly covered that. like, this is such prime advice. This is iffy prime advice, because this is like, it can be really hard to start any kind of a wellness journey. And it's like the whole advice being day by day, and it's okay to start fresh the next day, is like so encouraging, because nobody's going to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
Because you're just starting. You're just figuring it out. So it's like, and this is practicing self-love. That whole thing you talked about at the beginning of, like, the trying not to beat yourself up about it.
Yeah. It's almost like the thing where if you allow yourself moments to treat yourself, you're not going to hate yourself when you choose not to. Because... Mm-hmm. It's the same thing where it's like, if I, you know, if I gave you, you know, $5, you know, every week, and one week I can't give you $5, you're going to think about all the times that I did give you $5. and be like, okay, it's fine if this one thing, you know, you know, it's just like, it's just that exchange. Like, I think because we look at it as ourself, we don't consider that we mentally have this relationship to ourselves, and we can, mm-hmm. you know, feel a type of way about ourselves. We can resent ourselves. You know, there, I feel like there's just so much of us. So yeah, allow yourself that ability and that grace to start over again, because you might taste something and it's so worth it. There's been so many times I've broke my diet to taste a thing and it was like, I'm glad I did it. And mm-hmm. guess what? After a couple of weeks, you don't even know the difference.
Yeah, it's true. Half the time, a couple of days.
Yeah.
Sweating it out good enough. If you started this podcast at a 17 out of 10, how would you say you're feeling now? Same scale, 1 to 10. How are you feeling now? Man.
I feel like a 20 out of 10.
Yeah. Oh, you're literally double scale, every actor's dream. This is fantastic news.
Yeah, we're double scale around these parts. Putting that energy out. Yeah.
Oh my God, this podcast, we broke the news first, you guys. That's it. If he's double scale or bust. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Hey.
Listen, Iffy, I can't thank you enough for doing the big podcast. Thank you for this sound advice. Where can we find you online? Because I love your Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Where can we find you online?
Iffy Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram. And IffD's on Twitch if you like watching people play video games.
Well, here's the thing. I might have to tune in now that I'm in on it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a Zumba stream.
Oh my God, please. I would love that. If you guys would like to see the Zumba stream, please tweet at Self Esteem Party, hashtag Zumba stream, and I'll do it. I'm going to do it. This is finally my big chance to come out. I'm dying for everybody to see me. And if you guys would like to follow me, I'm at @TheOnlyAlannaJohnson on Instagram and at @Alanna_Johnson on Twitter. Iffy, thank you so much. What a treat, as in all mine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.